The Army breaks ground today on a giant solar array at sunny Fort Huachuca in Arizona. Once built, it will provide about a quarter of the energy needed to power the mid-sized base, and it will be the largest solar project in the military's portfolio for a little while. Amanda Simpson is executive director of the U.S. Army's Energy Initiatives Task Force. She describes the scope of the project.
Approximately 70 acres of solar arrays, about 75,000 modules, producing about 18 megawatts of electricity, which is quite substantial.
Yeah, put that in perspective for me. What is that power? Obviously a military base, but is there another way to quantify it?
That amount of power is enough to handle about 3,000 homes on a regular day.
So let's talk about the how. What has been the arrangement going forward now? I mean, how have you been able to set this up?
Well, the Army Energy Initiatives Task Force was set up about 3 years ago to be a central management office for looking at large-scale renewable energy projects that are cost-effective and leverage private financing. And Fort Huachuca has had a long-standing agreement through the General Services Administration to buy power, electricity, from Tucson Electric Power. We leveraged that agreement and an existing mandate from the state of Arizona for Tucson Electric Power to generate 15% of their electricity from renewable sources to put this project together that would benefit the Army at Fort Huachuca.
And so when you say you leveraged it, how did that happen?
State of Arizona mandated Renewable Energy Standard and Tariff, or RES program, collected money on behalf of the utilities to be used for the purchase, actually the construction and purchase of electric generating sources based on renewable energy. And Tucson Electric Power was looking for another facility to build, and we offered them the opportunity to use our land. By building that facility on our land, we now have a generation asset that we can turn to in times of emergency, or if that single transmission line that runs from the city of Tucson out to Fort Huachuca, some 75 miles in length, goes down due to flash floods or even wildfires like one that's burning near the fort today, the installation will have access to some electricity.
And so the utility is going to spend its own money to put the solar array up.
Right. There is no capital investment by the Army. There is no military appropriation for construction for this project.
And how do you plan to use it on a day-to-day basis once it's completed?
Well, on a day-to-day basis, it'll be completely invisible to the soldiers on the fort as far as where their electricity comes from. The energy generated by the array flows to the substation on the installation on our side of the meter, and it supplemented by the power coming from the grid through that transmission line from the next closest generation source, which is a coal-fired facility in the city of Tucson.
So it's going to be the primary source of electricity, and then you will have a redundant source should anything go awry with that.
Well, certainly it'll be the primary source while the sun is shining. The good news is Fort Huachuca in the county of Cochise, near the Huachuca Mountains in southern Arizona, has 350 days of sunlight a year.
Lucky them.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. On an average day, about 80% of their electricity during the 6 hours of maximum sunlight will come from the array. Of course, on average, the fort will get about 25% of their electricity from that array, because obviously it doesn't generate a whole lot of power at night.
And is the array something that perhaps can make so much energy that it can be stored at night, or that, and I'm thinking about the utility's interest here, can be funneled off to the city?
There's no storage as part of this phase of the project, but it is being built with the ability to interface with storage or a smart grid or other capabilities that will enhance the use of this generation source in the future.
We're speaking with Amanda Simpson. She's executive director of the Army's Energy Initiatives Task Force. So the groundbreaking is this week. Commercial operations are supposed to start later this year. When is the proverbial light switch actually going to be turned on?
Well, they will actually start generating power as soon as each module goes up and as each block is completed. But the commercial operation date, when it is actually certified by the state and integrated into the fort's distribution grid, is anticipated to be in December. We don't have an exact date until they are well under construction.
Just put the Fort Huachuca solar array into perspective. How does it meet the Army's overall goals?
So the Secretary of the Army and each of the service secretaries have elected to meet a mandate set by Congress of producing 25% of our electricity from renewable assets by 2025. Each service secretary is committed to the president to generate one gigawatt of electricity. And the Fort Huachuca project is about 1.5% of that goal. So even though it will be the largest solar array in the Department of Defense, it is just the first of many projects that the Army is looking at across the country.
And is that what your task force does?
Yes, we are looking to leverage renewable energy assets where we can get private financing to bring energy security to our installations. For in times of national or some weather emergency, we want to make sure that our installations can continue to operate.
Can you give me a sense of your strategy when it comes to deciding to do projects, major projects like this? I'm wondering if it has to be done on a case-by-case basis because of the particular environment and situation, or if there's a way, because you have a very aggressive goal, if there's a way to do it more systematically and centrally.
Well, that is why the EITF was stood up, to be that central organization. But we work with the installations, and each installation is unique. We look at a variety of different factors. What is the mission of that installation? What are their security needs? What are the economics of a project? What are they currently paying for electricity? What real estate opportunities do they have there? How much land do they have available for a project? A solar array may take literally hundreds of acres of land, whereas a biomass or a wind farm may take quite a bit less. What is the regulatory environment? Every state is different. How do we integrate into the larger domestic electric grid? What are the environmental concerns for that particular installation and surrounding community? And then what acquisition authorities do we have available? Here at Huachuca, we're going to be leveraging the existing GSA area-wide contract, but at some installations, we're going out and working with private developers through power purchase agreements. And yet at other installations, we are literally leasing out our land for them to develop power to contribute to the grid, and then we buy it back.
And I understand that among your projects in other places, you have one in Maryland?
Yes, we're very excited about the project at Fort Detrick, right up the road in Frederick, Maryland. It will be actually slightly larger than the Huachuca project, and we're hoping to break ground on that by the end of this year.
And is that solar? Because that's impressive in our area.
It is solar, and the state of Maryland has some wonderful incentives that the developer is taking advantage of that make this project economical for both the developer and the Army. So in that case, the developer is going to make money by putting in this array and operating it for 25 years, and the Army will be purchasing electricity and actually saving money over the course of that purchase.
It also shows that, if it works well, I guess, that you can do a large-scale solar project in a place where you don't have those 300-some days a year of sun.
Matter of fact, the project at Fort Detrick will not be the largest project in the state of Maryland. There are several larger.
And when you're talking about generating that 1 gigawatt of renewable energy, roughly how does it break down between solar and other sources?
Well, we're looking at solar, we're looking at wind, we're looking at biomass, and even geothermal. And we're not setting a specific goal for each, because when we go to each of our installations, we find that their needs, their availability of resources is quite unique. So we try to tailor the project to meet those demands at that installation.